I want to share some things from my heart today. It almost seems like there's an overload in my heart this year on the message of Christmas. I love the message of Christmas. I mean, I can just get lost in the Matthew and Luke's account of the Christmas story. It's so wonderful. It's so precious. It's so full of hope and all the wonderful ingredients of God. You know, the message of Jesus is good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. I mean, regardless of where you are in life today, the message of Jesus is a good news document. If you'd read with me in Matthew today, chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." How I thank God for this account of the real Christmas story. Sometimes you've heard me from this pulpit maybe fuss a little bit about all the happenings in the Christmas season, because not all of them are necessarily spiritual or directly tied in to the birth and life and death and so on of Christ. I've kind of modified my thinking this Christmas, and I just want to come to you and say, I thank God for the Christmas story and the celebration of the Christmas story. And let me tell you why. I've meditated on this, and I've thought about this. You see, all through the Old Testament, the prophets were prophesying, Christmas is coming. That's what they were saying. Christmas is coming. Christ means the anointed one. Christ is coming. Christmas is coming. And really, when you think about it, and you know that this is correct when I say it, virtually 1/12 out of every year is dedicated to something about Christmas. 1 month out of every year. And when we were on our way to Uganda, back just at the very tip end of October, coming through Heathrow Airport in London. I mean, it's just Christmas everywhere. Trees and presents, and of course, not manger scenes, but Santa Claus and et cetera and so on. And, you know, people are putting up Christmas trees. I was thinking about Halloween. Black lights, black cats. Now, black cats, I'm not against that, but black cat, I mean, cat can't help. What I mean, I'm talking about monsters. We see them on buildings erected, you know, coming after you, big monsters. You know, if a kid had some phobias, it's enough to push them over the edge. Demonic monsters. Halloween is built on fear. Something's going to get you. Some spirit is after you. Some ghost is going to meet you on a dark alley. And I look back when We didn't know really the truth about Halloween back years ago. I mean, it was just something else to scare somebody. And I was just thinking of the neighborhood attitude. It wasn't a sinister thing. It wasn't a demonic thing. It was a stupid thing. But it was still something that everybody got into their little thing of doing that. But when you think about it, the whole theme of Halloween is not life. It's not healing. It's not bringing someone out of depression. Dear God, it's enough to send you into depression. It's about monsters. It's about the demonic. It's about the little Harry Potters and the little demons and seances. And, you know, it's the whole thing. But the story of Christmas is bright, beautiful lights. White lights, red lights, green lights. I'm not into blue so much. As far as lights, I love the color, but just not black. You understand what I'm saying? For Halloween, the theme is death. For the Christmas story, the theme is life, joy, happiness, the positive. So really, 1/12 out of every year is celebrated in one way or another. Merchants, I still marvel. I mean, you can walk into a place that you won't find a manger scene. All you see is Santa Claus. But guess whose songs they're singing? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And I wrote down some of the words that of our praise singers sing this morning. I mean, when you look at the word content, and not every song is scriptural. Some of them are just a little, you know, little jingles or whatever. But I mean, the serious Christmas carols, man, the Holy Ghost had to be involved in the writing of those. What else has made it through? I can't go out and preach what they're singing in that place. You follow what I'm saying? I would not be free. But you can sing that, and somehow I'll take it. Praise God. You say, well, they sell merchandise on that. Okay, I'll take the trade. I'll take the trade, praise God. Merchants sing our songs and sell Christmas goods because why? Christ was born. Every legal document that you sign or you're a part of dates back to the birth of Christ. Your birthday goes back to the birth of Christ. It's B.C. and A.D. I mean, our whole society go to the courthouse and there's a courthouse full of documents, if they haven't all been computerized at this point. And everything there goes back to the birth of Jesus Christ. It's kind of interesting. People get a giving spirit who normally would be Scrooges and be tight, you know. They say this year that It's a Wonderful Life has had a whole new revival. Probably Wall Street has contributed to some of that. But It's a Wonderful Life, yeah. Hearts are softer. Christmas cards are sent to greet one another. Christmas cards don't come through. I hate you. Demon's going to get you. The spooks are after you. Look out your front door. Something's waiting for you. No, they're positive messages. Some heavier, some lighter. But the Christmas cards are positive messages. You say, why are you dwelling on this? That's part of my job. That's what I feel God has instructed me to share today. Special Christmas songs and plays and presentations and programs. Now some people say, well, it's just a stressful time. It is if you let it be. There's so much to do. We got to run the kids here. We got to run the kids there. We have to do this. But let's look at it this way. We get to do these things. We don't have to. And well, some of it you might have to do academically or in association with the school. But what I'm saying is we get to do these things. And yes, it's busier, but friends get together. My, what a blessing it's been just to be with our teacher staff from the school. We always look forward to that. It's such a precious time. And then we'll be getting with our church staff this next week. And many of you have, you know, we just get together more during Christmas. And we have to be careful. Some of them, some folks would have us get together 24 hours a day, but we got to have a little rest, a little sleep. But what I'm saying, really, look at the scene for what it is. Is it perfect? No. Is it all about Jesus? No. But one way or another, it goes back to Jesus, and it's because of Jesus. And if Jesus had never been born, these things would not be happening. It's not a season or a day or a holiday of fear and danger and demonic influences and death. And many in the spirit of Christmas resolve grudges, long-standing grudges. I mean, many people just say, hey, I'm just going to give it up. Life's too short. You know, life's too short to stay mad about anything except ticked at the devil. All of us, I've had to learn through the years, you know, you'll have enough battles in life without seeking battles. You'll have enough to deal with without being mad and full of hate and full of venom. And my family didn't do right, and I've got an aunt that didn't do right, and a cousin that, you know, and all this stuff. Hey, just let it go. Just purpose today, I'm going to turn them over to Jesus. Turn your ex-husband over to Jesus. Turn your ex-wife over to Jesus if that's your situation. But hear the message. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. To the rich, to the poor. Your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. You don't have to live in fear anymore. Fear not is prevalent through the message of Christmas. The message of hope and joy and forgiveness. And the Bible plainly says it will be to all people. This is not a U.S. religion. This is not a European religion. This is not I can name any territory. This is to all people. Jesus is for all people. You know, of course, Santa's not Jesus, but at least he's jolly. I mean, you know, kids wouldn't climb up in Santa's lap if he's slapping them around, you know, and just being a real Grinch, you know. I guess they still do that. I haven't seen too many Santas here sitting waiting for kids to come. But, you know, the sleigh, the reindeer. Reindeer are cute. And at least they're not demons, you know. Little elves, kind of weird, but at least they're not demons. But Christmas is all about Jesus. I said Christmas is all about Jesus, whether people realize it or not. They may not see it that way, but really there would be no Christmas if it was not for Christ and for the birth of Christ. So for the believer, rejoice, we still have something left, 1/12 of the year. Rejoice, 1 month out of 12, one way or another, is about Jesus Christ. And I'm still telling you, in an atmosphere, go around thank God for it. I hope no one discovers our secret that we're so happy about this. But I mean, go in places where you could never stand up on a soapbox and give the plan of salvation and give a Billy Graham altar call and, you know, you couldn't go and hold a crusade there, but they will sing words that speak of salvation, forgiveness of sins. Christ is come, his eternal kingdom. How many times is that verified? Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just exhilarating. And it's like, I know you say, well, some people don't even hear it. That's okay. It's being played. I hear stuff trying to get some groceries that I wished I didn't have to hear. You know, it's just, you just get tired of some of that. Well, thank God we're still in the marketplace, and God is still using this season. Now, the real Christmas story, let me just give you some simple insights here from my heart. Jesus was born in dark and difficult times. And I'm not trying to be negative with this, but folks, we've come through, and we're not out of it yet, some dark and difficult times. The big three automakers almost shut it all down. And whatever your opinion is on that, I mean, from the lending industry, Wall Street. I don't think any of us, I certainly don't realize the time that this nation has come through. I mean, it's just like, you know, paper just bubblehead, you know. Let me tell you something. We've come that close to disaster, and we're not out of it yet. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. Pray for the economy of this nation. And God forbid that it takes that to get our attention. You know, after all the financial loss, every church in the Metroplex should have been full to overflowing. They should have had police having to direct traffic coming into the house of God. After 9/11, they said, go to your local cathedral or your synagogue or your priest or your minister and go for counsel if you need it, because people were troubled. And here you lose half of your retirement or a third of your retirement. I mean, people have lost heavily. Not everyone has, but many people have lost heavily. Folks, it's time to get serious about God. It's time to go back to faith in God. It's time to put our roots back. You say, well, it didn't affect me. Well, you better thank God for that. And let God know that it's in God you trust, not your savings or not your investments. Thank God for investments. Thank God for all of that. But I'm telling you, folks, our strength is still God. The Lord, according to Psalms 27 and many other portions of God's Word, the Lord is the strength of our life. So Jesus was born in dark and difficult times. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, the taxes were high and they were getting higher. In the days of Jesus, they called it Herod the King. And just to say that was enough to put fear in your life. Because, I mean, to tell you the way this man thought, every child, not just abortion in the womb, which is tragic enough, every child under the age of 2, read it in the Word of God, was ordered to be killed. And if Joseph had not, under the instruction of the angel, gone to Egypt with Jesus, Jesus would have been included in that. Every child, think about that. All the families and the grandchildren, every child under 2 years of age, slaughtered, murdered. That was the mentality of that day and time. You know, I just really, and then of course there was the occupation of foreign soldiers. I just couldn't think of, I know there are darker scenes, probably the Holocaust would be a darker scene, but I really could not think of a much darker scene than the darkness and the difficulty that surrounded the day of Jesus. And I said that to say this, if don't let the negativism of what's happening get you down. Turn your energy to faith and prayer. I mean, don't just be so absorbed with what the announcers say and what this one says and that one says. No political party has the complete answer to everything that our nation is facing, but we need to keep our faith in God. People, I salute you. You're doing what needs to be done, at least this part of it. You're in the house of God today. And I salute you for that. And God sees that and God keeps the record. It's not coming to church to keep your family happy or me happy or anyone else. You're doing yourself a favor to get into the presence of God and let God touch your life. Jesus was born in dark and difficult times. Secondly, you're talking about fear on every hand. Secondly, many could have asked, where is God? Where is my healing? Where is my financial miracle? Where is change in my children or my grandchildren? Many could have asked the question, I tithe, I pray, I go to church, I live for God. But times are difficult and times are dark. And this is where I trust that I ignite a spark of faith that will release something much greater than the atomic bomb that brought World War II to a close. That it always seems the most impossible before you come through and you break through. It always seems so impossible before you see God coming through as only God can do. Many could have asked, where is God? I pray, I give, I go, I believe. I do the right thing. Others are not doing the right thing. Keep on doing the right thing. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting in God. You do the right thing. The beginning of a better world begins with us individually. If everybody did this and everybody did that, If everybody's not going to do it, you do it. Joseph did it. Mary did it. Zacharias did it. Elizabeth did it. The shepherds did it. The wise men did it. They did what was right. They did what they knew to do. And the third insight that God has just really given to my heart was the fact that God uses ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. Please understand what I say. Who's the star? Who's the champion of this church? It's not necessarily the pastor. I mean, even though there is respect and the call and so on, it's not necessarily the staff, or it's not necessarily who sings or who may be before you. It's the little quiet people that just keep on doing what God told them last. It's the Francis Vallelongas that have gone to be with the Lord, who would total a car in a big oak tree and tell them she didn't have time to go to the hospital. She's got a Sunday school class and bus children that are coming in. So they took her to church. She taught her Sunday school class that Sunday. You say, was she crazy? In the right way. It's the Maxine Swanners that have gone to be with the Lord. I can still see that Impala Chevy that she had. She thought it was a sin to come to church without a carload of people. And I've seen that. The springs got a little tested. I can still see her coming in. Looked like she had a safe in the trunk or something, you know. And when the door opened, here come the neighbors and here come the people. Because she'd always bring all that little caprice or big caprice could hold when she came to the house of God. When we had services were in the old, you know, I look back and I think, look what the Lord has done. Here this woman walks up and she says, I don't have much in retirement, but I want to give it to God. Man, I said, no way, Maxine, no way. Boy, she shook that finger in my face, and I was sitting on the edge of that platform. She said, you don't tell me not to do what God's told me to do. Pastor, I'm doing what you've been preaching. Man. And then how that her husband, she was a widow and her husband worked for the railroad, and it was just a matter of days until a man knocked on her door and said, you know, there's been a real mistake in your compensation. And she had several thousand more dollars coming. I mean, she'd been already doing this for 5 or 6 years. And your monthly, I think her monthly increased almost twice what it was before. And she came up to me with a solemn face, not a friendly face, said, see what God's done? Just look what God's done. I've said it so often, there's few things as strong as a woman with a made-up mind, I'm telling you. But these are things that we've encountered, and the many men and women, I mean, people that you wouldn't know those things. Only those behind the scenes know these things. There are crisis times in this church when we might not have been here if it had not been for the obedience of salt of the earth people. Joseph, what was his claim to fame? A carpenter. Well, that's wonderful. But he wasn't even making union wages. You see, Joseph, a man that had the ability to hear from God and to believe what God said. Folks, it's so simple. Many people just say, well, I just don't understand. Well, that's the problem. You don't understand and you can't figure it out, and I can't either. When you hear the word, lock in with your faith and don't back off within the 24-hour period. Get a grip. Believe God. Keep your faith in your seed. and go forward. Mary, a young girl, a teenager, who had ever heard of Joseph and Mary? Obviously heaven was aware of them. And great grace was released toward a teenager who obeyed God. Oh, I know today it's be cool, be cool, be cool. Let me tell you how to be cool. You serve God with all your heart. You do what's right. You do what's right when some guy doesn't want you to do what's right. You do what's right when some girl doesn't. Now the problem's on the other side, it seems like. But I'm telling you, you do what's right when no one's applauding you. When no one says, oh, I had a girl, what a wonderful. Oh, you just do what's right. And see what God will do. God blesses, God uses ordinary people who dare to hear the Word of God and believe the Word of God. And really, that's the message of this church, by and large. Really, from my heart, God blesses, God helps, God uses people who hear the Word of God and do something about it in faith believing. You can either be a hearer or a doer of the Word. Don't stop at being a hearer. Be a doer of the Word. You see, one thing set them apart for time and eternity. They heard the Word of God. And regardless of the cost, both Mary and Joseph believed God. They heard the Word. Oh, they heard the Word. Say it with me. They heard the Word. And they obeyed. They heard the Word, and they obeyed. Oh, I could stay there, but I guess I need to go on here a little bit. There's another insight here. You know, God is a God of supernatural suddenlies. I said, God is the God of supernatural suddenlies. We had our end of the year meeting and business and board and so on. Our Christian attorney who is involved with, I don't know, some 300 churches at least. He's very brilliant in church things, and we don't do anything that we don't check out. And we want to do everything correctly. But he was just saying, he said, Pastor, I just want to commend you. He said, I go to church after church after church, and when money was so easy to borrow, kind of like it was in a lot of other things, the church is overborrowed, and we've been offered millions of dollars when all that was going. And I said, no way. The problem with money borrowed is money has to be repaid. At least with most folks, it's that way. At least that's always been the thing I've experienced. You borrow money, you got to repay money. Somewhere along the line, there's payday someday. And he said, I want to salute you. He said, you know, this church could have plunged itself into debt no matter what miracles God's given us. There's a lot of changes I still want to see, and we've got some setback, but we can't eat our seed, and we're just holding, we're believing God. And God's going to help us to do the changes that need to be made. Yeah, I'm very conscious. There's a remodeling, there's a freshening in certain parts of the building that we've done, but other parts of the building we haven't. But you know, there's one thing that's positive. Never forget it. We've proven that souls can be saved in this room. We've proved that people can be healed in this room. We've proved that prayer can go forth in this room. We've proved, we have seen that God can move in revival in this house. And those of us that minister, you know, sometimes we just have to be careful. It's like a high-powered sports car. You better know where you're going to aim that thing if you floorboard it. And, you know, people don't realize that we got to get some word that keeps us, when we do hit the pedal, that we go in the right direction. But you see, God is a God of suddenlies. And it's like nothing, 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 nothing. No clouds, nothing, nothing. And then suddenly, angels begin to sing. I saw a bright, I thought it was a star, I think it was a satellite the other night, but I mean it was just so bright it stood out in the sky. I thought, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to see another star? Well, I think it was a satellite the way it was behaving and so on. But just think of those shepherds. I mean, they'd seen 1,000 nights like tonight. I've been to church so many times. I've gotten my faith up so many times. I've believed so many times. Oh God, how long, oh Lord, how long? But oh, God knows how to turn the star on. And all of a sudden, suddenly, you did a great job, praise and worship singers, but let me tell you, wouldn't you have loved to have heard the angels sing? My, my, my. Suddenly, angels begin to sing. Scriptural dreams. I know some dreams, you know, we all have some weird dreams. All have some weird dreams. Every once in a while. Maybe you don't, but every once in a while I do. I woke up the night and I said, where did they go, Joy? Where did they go? And I was getting ready to take on something. I've got, well, she said, there's nobody here. Everything's fine, Bob. Just roll over and go back to sleep. I said, you sure there's nobody? And then I finally woke up and she was right. I'm talking about scriptural dreams, not pizza dreams, not hamburger dreams. But, you know, God does give scriptural dreams. But it has to weigh out in the Word of God. Stars begin to shine. Angels begin to sing. Supernatural insight. What can move shepherds to leave their flock? Shepherds are joined at the hip with their flock. Shepherds don't leave their flock. That's why they're shepherds. But shepherds watching their flocks by night moved to go find the Christ child. Wise men. How wise were they? I'll tell you how wise they were. They heard, they believed, and they acted on what they heard from God. That makes you wise. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And of course, it's been said before. I'm not the first one to say it. But, you know, how in the world could Jesus and his parents be sustained financially? God sent them money for the journey. Provision for the vision. See, God knew there'd be a time he'd have to be away from his carpenter's business, that he couldn't make tents. As Paul did on that occasion. And so God brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. God knows what we need for the journey. Boy, there's something else that I included in our Christmas letter. Church, hear me, because it's a word to me and all of us. Never take God's manna as common. Don't take God's manna. Israel was about to starve in the wilderness and God gave them manna. Maybe they wanted another flavor. Maybe they want, I don't know what they didn't know what they wanted. Never begin to view God's provision as common. I don't like the provision that God's given. You better take the provision God's given and be thankful for the provision that God's given. It may not be the most exciting or the most exotic or the most thrilling or exhilarating, but take the provision that God's given. Be thankful for the manna that God has given. Be thankful for it. It'll keep you alive in the wilderness until something better comes along. God is a God of supernatural suddenlies. Another insight that God gave me, and we were talking about Jesus was born in dark and difficult times. Many could have asked, where is God? And here God's getting ready for this awesome miracle. God uses ordinary people, and that God is a God of the supernatural suddenlies. But you know, the real Christmas story is for all people. Thank God it's for all people. I said it's for all people. I've seen it working in Calcutta. I've seen it working in Australia. I've seen it working in New Zealand. I've seen it working in other parts of the world. The real Christmas story is for all people. It's not just an American story. It's not just an American religion. The Bible plainly tells us the Christmas story, all people will benefit. All people will rejoice. All people will be blessed. Eternal life, healing. I refer back to it because, you know, there are moments, you can call it whatever you want to, but I just preached in Uganda and we came back to the hotel room, had some lunch, and I turned the television on and Evie Hill is preaching. And I always love to hear that man preach. He's gone be the Lord a few years ago. And the title of his message was, "We Are Winning." And you know, there's days you think, yeah, right, you know. My bank account doesn't say I'm winning. My body doesn't say I'm winning. My wife doesn't even say we're winning, our husband. But what the message was all about, yes, there are negatives. Yes, there are things that don't go your way in this world. Yes, there are days when it looks like God's left town and has an unlisted phone number. Yeah, that's right. But when you look at the word, Mary and Joseph and everyone living at that time could have said, God is dead. The word of God is not working. The prophets have prophesied. Christmas is coming. Where is the Christ of Christmas? Many here this morning, you know, you don't have a church like this without wonderful people that have their faith on the line that need miracles from God. You need miracles maybe in the finances, maybe miracles in your marriage, miracles in your children. I mean, there are miracles in all of us, maybe multiple miracles. But as I listened to E.V. Hill, I'll tell you, my heart just, I thought, you know, he's right. On any given day, we are winning. The Word is still working. I said, the Word is still working. The Word is still working when it doesn't look like it, when it doesn't feel like it, when your bank statement doesn't reflect it. God's Word is working. When you see it, when you don't see it, when you have a witness in your heart and you just have that numb feeling, what's going to happen next? God's Word is at work. We are winning. Mary and Joseph did not know that they were going to be a part of this winning. Whoo! Oh my. I'm going to have to find an exit here. We are winning. We don't win them all. I often say, you look at football or any sport, the only way every team can win is in Jesus. Everybody can't beat everybody all the time, unfortunately, right? But I wish I could just come down and just join hands with you, or just place my hand on you and just tell you, regardless of what you see, think, feel, or experience, you are winning if your faith is in God. You are winning. You are winning. You say, that's positive. That's Word of God. I mean, look at Israel. They're crying out to God. God, do something. We have no family time. We're working sun up until sundown. No family time. No private time. We're working harder than we've ever worked before. Producing less for us. But oh, we know the rest of the story. That a bush began to burn. And a voice began to speak through that bush and call Moses to be the answer to their prayer. I wonder where that Moses is listening to that burning bush concerning you this morning. Well, it's unending. The story of the gospel is you're never without options when you have faith in God. You've never lost when your faith is in God. You're not a loser. We are winning when your faith is in God. When you get tired of it, when you get tired of God's manna, when you start mouthing and complaining and murmuring about the manna that God's given you, well, I don't like the flavor and I don't like, you know, be thankful for the manna that God has given you and God has given us. Because God brings faithful people through. And God's going to bring you out on the high side of victory. I mean, just look at it. I mean, these are not, you know, seminary trained, charismatic type of individuals, Mary and Joseph. I mean, literally, I guess probably Mary and Joseph could be accurately defined as salt and light people, just the basic salt of the earth. Not glamorous. Just their little immediate family and people around them knew anything about them. But oh, they had a faith in God. Hallelujah. Oh, they had faith in God. And the story of this pulpit at this Christmas time is, hold on to your faith. The just still live by faith. But I can't figure it out. Well, that's when faith just went out the window. Keep on believing. No matter what has happened, God has a plan, God has a purpose, God has a path, God has a fulfillment.